Item 1 from the Director of Procurement, Department of Administrative Services, submitting an informational report on the review of Milwaukee County's current procurement policies, procedures, and administrative manuals by the National Institute of Governmental Purchasing. The Chair of the Finance Committee did not schedule this item for consideration by that committee, and this item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Very good. Mr. Lee?
Chairman, Supervisors, I'd like to make a presentation in regards to a report that we received from the National Institute of Governmental Procurement. If you would permit me, I'd like to give a brief outline of the history, the process, observations of NIGP, recommendations, conclusion, and the next steps we possibly take. I'll attempt to keep it as brief as possible, but at least provide you some background information. In December 2013, I appeared before the Finance, Personnel, and Audit Committee requesting and receiving approval for a transfer of funds. During that appearance, questions were asked ranging from questioning the need for a review, my motivations, be it for a true desire, or my just seeking confirmation of a predetermined view, the need for expertise, to a skepticism expressed by the statement that there was a tendency for, quote, less information versus more to be shared with the board. What I provide you today is an informational report that are results of this initial effort. I expressed at that meeting an anticipated deliverables at that time to secure the following: a high-level overview of our procurement policies and procedures, secure a document to provide a structure and framework for further discussion and action, a document to ultimately assist in bringing any recommendations to the board, and to obtain expertise preparing a preliminary benchmarking of Milwaukee County's current policies and practices to best practices. Finally, as one committee member observed at that particular time, an obviously committed attempt to provide an apparent and genuine desire to get rid of conflict and provide clarity. I'd like to go into the process. NIGP was first contacted regarding their services related to this project in March 2013. NIGP was engaged in December 2013 as a result, NIGP provided a consultant to work exclusively on our review. Milwaukee County provided consultant with ordinance links, copy of ordinances, manuals, and copies of administrative manuals that related to procurement. Credentials of the consultant and NIGP are included in your report. As a result of this high-level overview, general direction was provided to review these items and to review these items against state statute, NIGP, ABA best practice, and against two other government entities. Request for review was broadly directed to procurement activities and was specifically broad as to allow wide latitude for outcome based upon findings. Consultant was requested also to contact and interview audit and corporate counsel for any additional input. The results of that review, again, are before you today. The report highlights approximately 40 recommendations related to procurement. While not the most entertaining report, I would encourage it to be read and considered. The consultant based the review on the concept that solid policies and procedures form the backbone of a strong and successful procurement function. Select observations I'd like to point out are the following conceptual observations. Observation number 4, both policies and procedures are contained in both chapters and administrative manuals. When policies and procedures are combined in the same documents, there is a greater tendency for misunderstanding, creating a chance for users to make mistakes and circumvent rules. Separating the two provides clarity and establishes the appropriate hierarchy for policies to the procedures. Number five, there are areas in the procurement process that are not addressed. These areas include specifications, purpose, goals and objectives, organization, responsibility, contract administration, debarment of vendors, and client department information and responsibilities. These are specifically identified as procurement authority and responsibilities in the ABA code. The code is best practice for governmental procurement and professional standards. Additionally, these areas should be addressed to achieve greater understanding, fairness, and transparency of the public procurement process of the county. Highlighted observation number 9, dollar thresholds for purposes below those that require a formal process are inconsistent for commodities, equipment, and non-professional service, public works, contracts, and professional services, creating a possibility for confusion and the opportunity for circumventing the process. And finally, number 10, the primary regulatory constraint that is impending efficiency in procurement is the protest and appeals procedures. Suppliers and contractors have the capability to delay bid and proposal awards through protest and appeal actions. This would require a change by the Board of Supervisors. Finally, there are highlighted recommendations. One, clearly distinguish between policies and procedures. It does not matter whether the two are combined as long as they are distinct. As policies are governing principles or plans that establish the general parameters for the county to follow in carrying out its responsibility, procedures are detailed series of related activities that must be completed and the order in which they must be done to accomplish the policies. Though best of breed trend today is to have a separate procedural manual for users and also conduct regularly scheduled training classes. Two additional ones are revised and standardized dollar thresholds for purchases where cost is less than those required for a formal process. Informal bidding and small purchase amounts range from $2,000 to $5,000 to $10,000. Although the authority for procurement is split for procurement of commodities and non-professional services, public works, and professional services, consistent thresholds would reduce confusion. And then finally, implement one protest and appeal procedure that begins with the procurement division director and that does not allow for an avenue to delay bid awards for critical purchases and projects. Finally, my conclusion, the findings and the recommendations of the report provide an opportunity to move the county procurement function to a higher level in its policies and procedures that will result in greater efficiencies for the procurement division and greater efficiencies for the county. The recommendations are based upon best practices in the public sector, procurement, and the profession. Providing clear policies and procedures where all participants understand procurements and the user's role and the responsibility in the process are critical to ensure ethical and transparent government. The next step, I anticipate to continue to review and report and engage as needed NIGP for further assistance in fleshing out, structuring, and drafting documents related to implementing appropriate recommendations. I would welcome any input and would be willing to meet with anybody anytime, any place to discuss the recommendations or procurement policies here in Milwaukee County. Thank you for the opportunity to present the report, and I again encourage it to be read by all. Thank you.
And tell me again, where are you in terms of the utilization of the funding? Where are you in terms of utilizing the funding provided? How much has been spent so far on NIGP?
If you wouldn't hold me to an exact dollar amount, I believe $80,000 was transferred. I encumbered only $72,000, and I believe this initial report cost us somewhere in the range of $12,000.
Okay, thank you. Supervisor Burkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Lee, you made the comment that this report was entertaining. I would say to you that I'm not sure if there's anything that I've dealt with over 22 years that has been entertaining regarding county governments. I just wanted to acknowledge that word that you used, entertaining. Regardless of how we got here, and I think we all know how we got here in the sense that there's been a conflict between the board and the exec. And the key thing is that after all of this time, after all of this money, I'm hopeful, and I know your last comments, you talked about implementing some different things that you're going to make the office better and stuff. But I would hope that with all of the extra knowledge that you got, regardless of the internal dynamics down here, that your office is able to use something to your benefit. And I don't know, are you able to give me or give us any specifics at this stage?
In regards to implementable?
Yes.
If everything stayed the same, no action was taken on ordinances or policy, and again, you didn't change thresholds, you left everything the same, I would certainly pick up and carry forward the recommendations related to training, manuals, guidance. Let me give you a specific example, although it doesn't directly fall in my purview because it is separated by ordinance chapter 56 related to professional services. It contains approximately 49 to 54 words related to what the content of an RFP should be. And probably 20% of those words have to do with you should enter into a billing arrangement in the RFP. It would probably move forward on using best practices as it relates to an RFP. My concern there is if not given broad policy guidelines, and I do go back to how they discuss policy versus procedure, if not given policy guidelines, I would fear possibly times I would broach upon possibly the purview of the board. A specific example that we very well may be facing today is in the ordinances we have no declaration related to specifications and a bidder having the opportunity or the requirement to bring forward prior to submitting a bid issues related to unreasonably burdensome specifications within the bid. Very well, the policy should be there shall be no unburdensome specifications. But then leave it at that and allow our area or some other entity in government to flesh out. I cite another example where we have crossed over between the asking for policy guidance and then in ordinance having procedures. An example is when somebody submits a professional service contract, it started with a form to be created by the department administration, submitted to the controller. Maybe it should have ended there, but then it goes on to talk about it has to be submitted in four parts, three parts go to the controller, one part is retained. That, I would argue, and as I say, willing to enter into discussions, very well should be a manual or administration operation. So, direct answer to your question, proceed with the manuals and education.
Amazing answer. Thank you. And I think that your time is coming. Obviously, with the changes in Act 14, this term versus next term or whatever, don't need to get into those dynamics and stuff, but I think that you're positioning yourself very well, so thank you.
In relation to that, Chairman, Supervisors, in relation to that comment, oft-used phrase is everything in the world is accomplished through hope. So,
wow.
It's not my phrase.
Was that from George Carlin or what?
No. It's attributed at times to Martin Luther King and other times to Martin Luther.
Thank you.
Supervisor Weisha.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When you asked the national group for these recommendations, were they looking at it through, I guess, the window of Act 14, because I think procurement, it's going to be different, and I don't mind, excuse me, that there's changes, but we do have to remember that now that you have a $100,000 threshold without county board approval, so procurement and that process is really important. Plus, then you have the passive review for, you know, up to $300,000. So did they take that legislation into consideration when they were, you know, looking at these and making these recommendations?
You will see in the report that it is mentioned. I'll answer the question, if you don't mind, in Chairman Supervisors, twofold. One is, yes, it was addressed as a recommendation related to thresholds and thresholds alone. How we procure in the openness, transparency, and creating a competitive environment, the acquisition process, fair and transparent and competitive, is, and again, this is where we get muddled in sometimes our current ordinances, is totally separate from the approval process. How an RFP is created, we still need to come before the board to get approval. The recommendation on thresholds is that very well maybe we should look at a formal acquisition threshold to be rather than $50,000, $100,000 in consideration of Act 14. But that was the only place that was addressed. They were aware of Act 14, but again, that has more to do with approval versus my procurement process, sir, supervisor.
And you engaged them in March of 2013?
We initially made contact in March of 2013 as towards inquiring of their service. They provided some information about other entities that they had provided the service for, and in that particular time, they came back with some estimates for a broader range, more robust review, and at that time it was not in my budget. Subsequently, in May, a vacancy occurred in my department that resulted in having some additional funds, and when it came in front of the Finance Committee, I think one of my last comments was all that I was asking to do was to use those funds to begin activities that we very well may you have used if we had an employee in that position, although doubting they would may have the same skills, expertise, and toolkit. But yes, the initial reach out was March 13.
Other questions? Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question. I know that the $100,000 was looked at, and Mr. Lee and I have had conversations. Director Lee and I have conversations, and he cited at times that the ordinances sometimes are contradictory, provisions of the ordinances are contradictory, and so I was, as a supervisor, was very, very heartened by the fact that this was to happen. I want to note that the National Institute of Governmental Purchasing consultant did come up with a recommendation regarding the DB program with respect to public works contracts, and that needs to be fleshed out in some way. But the consultant did commend the county for a thorough DBE document and program. I know that our Office of Community Business Development Partners has been under some criticism over the years, but from what the findings of Ms. Is it Henson, I believe? Connie Henson?
Connie Henson, yes.
Were enlightening to me and very satisfying to me, because she said that this chapter is very thorough and complies with federal requirements of disadvantaged business enterprise participation. This is on page 26 of the 25 of the report. Page 26, she, as I said, stated that the county should be commended for a thorough DB document and program. So I know over the years sometimes there's been friction between the department, Division of Procurement, and the Community Business Development Partners Office, but there have been times when there's been sitting down and trying to work out some things that need to be hammered out, and I just wanted to make a note of that. And again, I'm glad that the report has been forthcoming so we can go forward. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman, supervisors, the business relationship and ongoing relationship between procurement and CBDP at this stage of the game is an outstanding relationship. I think I'll venture just an opinion here. The consultant complimented us on our ordinances related to DBE, and I'm fully supportive of those ordinances as they implement them as written.
Supervisor Borkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to make the motion that we receive and place this on file. I know that this might be the only committee that this is going towards, and this is good information that all of our colleagues should have. So.
The motion is to receive and place on file by Supervisor Borkowski. What did you say what your timeline was to return with the actual recommendations or the follow-up?
I would like to get it anywhere between 4 to 6 months. I candidly am facing one hurdle as I'm I don't know if this is the appropriate time, have one position that is funded but not authorized at this current time in the procurement department, and maybe seeking a fund transfer to accomplish the similar task that we did on this if we need additional arms and legs to complete.
Okay.
And again, Chairman, Supervisors, again, if anybody would like to reach out, I would love to have a discussion on any pertinent topics or procurement in general.
I guess I would ask for why, I mean, the timeline that this seems to be on, you know, the audit in 08 identified a number of these issues, I thought. We're 6 months out from getting recommendations from you from this work. Yet the exec seems to believe that he can't issue another RFP on perhaps the biggest contract without tweaking one thing, which is the appeal process. So other than wanting to control the outcome, why is the appeal process the one thing that should be fixed in procurement immediately, and everything else is on a slow train?
I'm not aware that I believe there is a desire to fix the appeal process. I believe prior to current consternation related to appeals, the comptroller brought it forward. And I don't have a direct answer in regards to why we may or may not piecemeal it, but it is a recommendation in this report. Again, we engage these people prior to, or their services prior to, the appeal process. It is embodied in this report. Not that I'm quoting a lot of people today, but Voltaire, you know, don't let perfect get in the way of good. That if we could, I would beseech that we could move forward on the comptroller's recommendation in regards to changes, that it be done. If the board would like my process hastened in some fashion, I'll see what I can do to accommodate. Again, I've been downstaffed one, but
maybe more specifically, sure. what I'm questioning is if there are issues and confusion in the procurement process. It seems that perhaps that is what generates an abnormally large number of appeals these days, rather than suggesting that it's the appeal process that is the problem. Perhaps it's the procurement is the problem, and it's generating appeals. All right, so I guess I'm wondering why we're working the back end of this train.
Chairman, Supervisors, I would respectfully submit that it's probably a twofold issue. That in conversations with my peers, due to economic downturn and other various reasons, there seems to be a robust cottage industry related to appeals. We are not unique in this sense. As towards having,
changing the appeal process wouldn't change that this is just a trend.
Chairman, Supervisors, I'm saying that there is a greater likelihood in the economic downturn that individuals will pursue all avenues in order to appeal or to hold up the procurement process in nature. Secondly, I believe the procurement process that we have in place today through these recommendations can be made better. We've gotten by for many years with as it sits, and contracts and awards have come before you, and with or without a particular appeal. I would have to let the comptroller speak for himself, but the conversion in the appeal process or the desire to change the appeal process is solely separate from acquisitions of RFPs, so forth and so on. I believe it is a sincere desire to drift towards what have been identified as best practices, keeping in mind that best practices, at least by standard definitions, are practices reviewed and proposed by peer group recommendations of either cutting-edge, innovative, or proven methodology. And I believe that with the appeals process, that is a solely separate action.
Okay. With that, we have a motion to receive and place on file by Supervisor Borkowski.
Supervisors Borkowski.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Weishan.
Aye.
Broderick.
Aye.
Rainey.
Aye.
Staskunis.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
7 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to receive and place on file prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Lick.
Chairman, Supervisors, thank you for your time and the opportunity to present.
Thank you.
Before we take another item, I want to make clear I would like item 10 to be reported to the board for its meeting on May 12th and the balance of the items to go to the regular county board meeting. Seeing no objection to that, that would be the order of the chair. All right. Item 2, please.